Let's bow a moment in prayer as we approach the Word. Our Father, we thank Thee for the privilege that we have again to study the Word of God together. We thank You for Your precious, holy, written Word. And as we approach Your Word, we approach it reverently and humbly. We thank Thee, our Father, for the great, mighty One, the Holy Spirit, whom Thou hast sent to be our teacher and to be our guide. We trust Him to give us utterance. As a psalmist of old said, make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer. As Peter said, that we may speak as of the oracles of God. Heavenly Father, may the blessed Holy Spirit unveil, unfold, reveal the Word of God unto our spirits. And we pray for all of us, that we will not just be hearers of the Word only, but that we shall be doers thereof. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God. From the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said, the first part of the 5th verse, I would that you all speak with tongues. Then he declared in the 18th verse of this same opening, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. I thank my God, I speak with tongues. Well, I'm glad that I can say with Paul, I thank my God, I speak with tongues. So many times folks ask, what is the value of speaking with other tongues? But we notice from the Scriptures, the scriptural purpose of speaking with other tongues. And we notice, number one, that speaking with other tongues is the scriptural evidence, initial evidence, or other evidences that follow, of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or that is, being filled with the Holy Ghost. The day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Here in the 14th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, in the 2nd verse, Paul said, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now I want you to notice that he said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. And so you see, he's given us a supernatural means of communication with himself. That doesn't just belong to one individual. Some people said, well, speaking with tongues may not be for all. We need to differentiate between ministering tongues in public assembly and being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues, which is a different matter entirely. Everybody that's filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues does not necessarily minister tongues in public assembly with interpretation. And there is a difference between the two. But thanks be unto God, all believers may be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives them utterance, and continue to speak with other tongues and pray in other tongues and sing in other tongues in their own private devotions, for it's a means of spiritual edification. And so he said here, for he that speaketh in unknown tongues speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now, I like Weymouth's translation that said, howbeit in the Spirit, he speaks divine secrets. Hallelujah. He's talking secrets with God. Then we notice that the Scripture declared there in Acts 10:46, those brethren of the circumcision that went with Peter down to Cornelius' household. And in Acts 10:46, it said, they of the circumcision, as many as came with Peter, were astonished, because that on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did they know they'd receive this gift? For we heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Speaking with tongues is a means of magnifying God. Now, from God's standpoint, he can't be any bigger than what he is. He can't be magnified. But from our standpoint, he can certainly be bigger. Amen? And speaking with tongues makes him bigger in your life. And then, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Now the word edify means he builds up himself. In other words, God has given us a divine, supernatural means of building ourselves up. This is, of course, a spiritual edification, not mental, not physical. Yet what affects us spiritually will also affect us physically and in every area of our life. Our Greek scholars tell us that we have a word that we use in our modern-day vernacular that's closer to the meaning of the Greek word translated edify. Edify means build yourself up. And that's the word charge that we use in connection with a battery. For instance, our automobile battery runs down and we charge it. We put it on the line and charge it or build it up. And so Greek scholars, authorities tell us that really a more literal translation and really closer to what the original scripture said, either speak an unknown tongue, charges himself, or he builds himself up or charges himself like a battery. Glory to God. Well, if your spiritual battery runs down, the scripture tells you how to get it charged. Praise the Lord. Smith Wigglesworth said, and Wigglesworth was an English preacher that God called into the ministry, and he had revival on every continent of the earth, every inhabited continent of the earth. Marvelous things happened. There was an Assembly of God minister years ago in my office here, an Assemblies of God minister from England, and he said to me that, among other things, that he personally knew, he was an older gentleman, 70-some-odd years of age, and he said that he personally knew of 21 people that was raised from the dead under Wigglesworth's ministry. Well, that's 21 more than what's been raised from the dead under my ministry. Amen. I don't know about you. But Wigglesworth said, somebody asked him, what is the secret of your ministry? Well, he said it couldn't be education because I never went to school a day in my life. If you'll read his life story, you'll find out that he went to work in a factory in England when he was just 6 years old. That's before they had the child labor laws, you see. And so he said, I never went to school a day in my life. And so you couldn't contribute his success to education. And then he said, it's not because of pulpit etiquette, because I don't even know what the word etiquette means. And then he just heard somebody talking about pulpit etiquette. And so he said, only thing I know to tell you, that I was doing the best I could, and he was a plumber and just preached a little on the side, and his wife was really the main preacher, and they had a little mission, she was the pastor. Until he said, I was doing the best I could, till somebody came along and told me that they're receiving the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues in an Episcopal church there in England. And I went up to see about it and come back speaking in other tongues. And he said, the only thing I know, the secret of my success is that I get into the privacy of my own bedroom and speak and pray in other tongues 2 hours every afternoon. In other words, I edify myself in the daytime and go out at night and edify the people. You see, you can't edify the people unless you've been edified yourself. But when you've been built up, then you can help others. Amen? And he said, that's the secret of my success. Well, you see, a lot of times folks want the success of others, but they don't want to pay the price that the other person paid. They want a shortcut, you know. They want a sort of a fast food situation, you know, instant. But, you know, God's not dealing in instant pudding. Amen. Amen. It's just that he works the same that he always worked. Amen. And Wigglesworth said, I take 2 hours every day praying in tongues and edify myself, and then go out at night and edify the people. Amen. And he had revival on every continent of the earth. The mighty move and power of God. Well, as I said, Greek scholars have told us that a literal translation would be that he that speaketh an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Or he builds himself up like a battery. Well, I know we folks that spend any length of time, I'm not talking about just getting down praying and rattling off a few words in tongues. I'm talking about spending some time praying in other tongues. We'll know that that's exactly the way it feels. There's an inward edification. There's an inward something that is sort of like charging you up. I know I didn't know all of this. We weren't taught much, you know. I was a Baptist minister to begin with, received this experience and spoke with other tongues. And I remember my wife and I was pastor of a little full gospel church in the black land of north central Texas. And I remember that I was getting ready for my Sunday services. This was on Saturday. And I always would help my wife because I expected her to help me. And so, you see, we'd get up in the morning and cook breakfast, and I'd wash the dishes and clean up the kitchen, and she'd make the bed and clean up the bedrooms, then we're ready to go. And if we had visiting to do, well, she could go with me. If I expect her to help me, I ought to help her and expect her to go with me. So, we weren't going to do anything on Saturday except just get ready for the Sunday service anyway, but just through custom, I went ahead and was washing the dishes and cleaning up the kitchen, and she was back, you know, making up the beds and so on. And some way or another, I was praying and meditating, but I just couldn't get away from speaking with other tongues. And I didn't speak out loud, just stood there, you know, washing the dishes, praying in other tongues. And then I went over to the church next door to be sure that everything's in order. We didn't have a paid janitor, just folks would volunteer of the church. And sometimes they didn't do too good a job, I'd have to do it over. Or they wouldn't dust the pulpit or dust the altar or dust the pews or something. And so I went over just to check everything out. And as I was checking it out, well, I was praying in tongues. And then I just stayed there for a while and put in 45 minutes or an extra hour praying in tongues. And then I went to the post office to get her mail. We got it in a box. Now, I could have gone. I had a car at that time. But I walked because it was the spring of the year of 1943. And I purposely walked down through the park praying in tongues all the way to the post office. Not out loud, of course. People would think you're nuts. And you would be. And then I got the mail and I came back and I prayed in tongues all the way back home. In fact, I would say that from 8 o'clock in the morning till about 2:30 in the afternoon, that I prayed 90% of the times in other tongues. And that means then that you put in probably 7 hours praying in other tongues, and I didn't stop. I kept on doing whatever I had to do, except that time when I went out to check the church, I stayed there for a while and put in a little extra time. Otherwise, I was busy doing the things I had to do. That's what's so wonderful about it. And you know, you don't have to, if you're around others, pray out loud at all. The Lord hears you. You can speak in your heart to the Lord, and He hears you. But I knew this. I know this. That the more I prayed, it seemed to me, now in my day, you know, and we got to realize this is 43 and in the midst of World War II, and we are still operating, though, you know, as it did in Depression days, and we didn't have all these electrical toys and toys that runs on batteries. We had toys, you know, that ran on a spring. You wind it up, you know. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But to me, you see, because I wasn't familiar with the electrical side of it, to me it was just like there's a great big spring inside me here about 8 or 10 inches, you know. And the more I prayed in tongues, the tighter that thing was winding. I could just feel it. And well, I was building myself up. I was charging my spiritual battery. I said to myself, God's getting me ready for the service tomorrow. We're going to have a stem winder, you know, on Sunday. That's what I thought He was doing, was getting me ready for the Sunday service, you see. That's what I thought it was all about. But, you see, about 2:30 that afternoon, a lady brought her sister. And her sister was an inmate of the Wichita Falls State in Texas institution. She had been there for 2.5 years. In solitary confinement because she had been violently insane, tried to kill herself, dangerous to others. And in a padded cell for over 2 years. No exercise, no sunshine until her general health had deteriorated. And so the authorities of that institution wrote to her mother and father and said, "We feel it would be well for your daughter to come home on furlough for a couple of weeks. She is no longer violently insane, but she's still insane, and she'll always need institutional care. But you see, it was during the war. We're short on help. She hasn't had any sunshine for 2 years and better, and no fresh air, just in a padded cell, and her general health has deteriorated. Now, if you could come and get her, because we just don't have the help to do it, and take her to your home, and watch her closely now. But go to the city park. This is in the spring of 1943. If you have a city park, keep her out all day long in the sunshine. Walk her and exercise her. Because if the change of environment doesn't improve her appetite, she's not going to live much longer. And so this sister went and got her and brought her to her home. And she brought her the first Saturday of May of 1943 to our parsonage. Well, I'd never dealt with a person like that before. We'd had people heal, but I just simply... You know, I didn't know how to deal with it exactly. I know this, that people can be sick in their head just like they're sick in their stomach. You know, you get sick at your stomach don't work right, does it? Well, you can get sick in the head and your head won't work right. And you could pray and anoint them with oil and they could be healed. But yet, right on the other hand, I know that an evil spirit can get a hold of a person's mind. And if there's a spirit there, then it has to be cast out. So you have to depend on the Spirit of God. Well, I remember that the lady was trying to get her into the parsonage. And my wife and I standing on the front porch of our parsonage, you know. And this lady said to her sister, said, "This is the preacher. This is Brother and Sister Hagin. This is the preacher, the minister I told you about." And when she told her that, she started quoting scriptures. I mean, they just run out of her mouth like water out of a faucet. And you know, I didn't know, you know, how do you act around people like that, you know? And I opened my mouth and said the wrong thing. And I'm going to let everybody that never did open their mouth and say the wrong thing throw the first rock at me. Amen. So I won't get stoned at all, will I? Amen. And so I said, well, anybody you know that knows scripture like that must really know God. And she reached up and started pulling her hair out and screaming. And her eyes flashed fire and said, "Oh no, 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 I can't know God. No, no, I can't know God. I've committed the unpardonable sin." And I remember that this sister that brought her said, "I asked the head doctor that was head of this asylum, I said, is that peculiar to her?" "Oh no," he said, "that's not peculiar to her." He said, 90% of them here think that same thing. You see, there's a spirit behind the whole the thing. And so, her sister got a hold of her and shook her and finally slapped her. John, I'll tell you, she popped her till you could hear it half a block away nearly. And she said, "I hate to do that, but that's what the doctor said do to bring her out of that." And then she settled down. We got her set down in a chair in the living room and she sat there like a statue. Never blinked an eye. Just looked straight ahead of her. Never blinked an eye. Just sat like a statue. And so I said, I realize we're going to have to get some help here, you know. And so I said to this lady, you stay right here. And one of our other members came with her, and I said, "My wife and I'll go get Sister Sylvia." Now, we had a little red-headed woman in our church by the name of Sister Sylvia that could pray heaven and earth together. Amen. Not many folks can, but she was one of those that could. And I would to God that others would learn to. But we went down, my wife and I went down to Sister Sylvia's house, and I said to her, "Now you go in and tell her, because she'll probably want to, you know, dress differently, so I'll just wait here in the car." And so she went in to get her, and then she motioned back to me that they'd be there a few moments. And I sat there, and I took my testament out and read, and I said, "Now, Lord, I'll just have to depend on you. And after all, that's all we can do is depend on him anyway, because within ourselves we can do nothing. But you see, thank God for the Holy Ghost that's in us. Gets us ready for things to come. Hallelujah. And one means of edifying ourselves and getting us ready is praying in other tongues." And so I said, "I know that if this is just healing, I can anoint her with oil and lay hands on her and expect you to heal her. But if there's a spirit involved here, we'll have to deal with that." And so we went back to the parsonage. That lady's still sitting in the middle of the floor in a straight chair. Never had moved a peg. Just sitting there like a statue. And so my wife and the woman's sister and Sister Sylvia and the other lady that came with them, they knelt across the room to the west, and I knelt over in the other corner of the room, and we all began to pray. I don't know how long we prayed, but I'd say we prayed quite a while. And the Spirit of God said to me, "Go stand in front of her and say, 'Come out, thine unclean spirit, in the name of Jesus.'" I'd never done that before in my life. And so, to make a long story short, I argued a little bit about it with the Lord. But finally, I did. I ran over there in front of her and said, "Come out, thine unclean spirit, in the name of Jesus." And you say, "What happened?" Well, it didn't look like anything happened. I mean, she looked just as nuts as she did. I mean, her eyes were just like they were. She didn't act any better. But I knew this much, the anointing came on me. See, I'd said to the Lord, "You let that anointing come on me again, and I'll do it." I knew that under the anointing, I'd spoken the word of faith. And so her sister bundled her up and took her home that Saturday afternoon. On Monday afternoon, the lady that had come with them, which is a member of our church, come running over 15 miles away, you see, to our town. And she said, "Brother Hagin, Sister Hagin, pray, pray, pray." I said, "What for?" Well, she said, "That lady's having an attack like she did when she first lost her mind." And to my utter astonishment, I opened my mouth to say something else, and this come out of my mouth. I said, "What of it? Did you ever read in the Bible when Jesus told the spirit to leave people? Sometime before he left, the scripture said he threw them down and tore them." And I said, "That thing, that'll be the last tax you'll have. I spoke the command of faith Saturday afternoon. And that thing will leave." She said, that's exactly what her sister said. That's exactly what happened. And she is perfectly delivered. Praise God forevermore. Amen. And 19 years later, we were preaching in a certain city, and her sister lived there, and we contacted her and went to lunch with her. And we asked her, how about your sister? 19 years ago, oh, just fine. Her mind just fine. She's just been fine all these 19 years, working in a place of business, teaching a Sunday school class in church. Praise God and on fire for God. But the point I wanted to make with it is this, that God was getting me ready. And I really didn't know what was happening then. Now since then, I realize that. I always look and see because I realize He's getting me ready for that. The greatest things that ever happened to me is after that I've spent some time, some length of time praying in other tongues. The greatest miracles of healing, the greatest miracles of finances, the greatest and most outstanding things that have ever happened have come as a result of praying in other tongues. Thank God for the privilege of praying in the Spirit. Now notice this. Notice what He said, that second verse again. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Now notice this. However, in the Spirit. He said praying in other tongues is praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now notice in the 14th verse of this same opening, 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it? Notice 15th verse. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. Now He calls praying with the Spirit praying with tongues, doesn't He? I will pray with the Spirit, and I'll pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I'll sing with the understanding also. I remember way back there, before I was filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke in other tongues as a young Baptist boy pastor, I saw these different scriptures in here about praying with the Spirit and praying in the Spirit. And I asked different ministers, you know, of different groups, Baptist primarily, because I was Baptist, what does it mean to pray with the Spirit? What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Well, some of them said that just means to pray with a little extra spizzerinctum. Amen. And you'd hear people say sometime, we're singing a song out of the song book, you know. And the song leader would stop and say, now this, sing this next verse with the Spirit and with the understanding. Well, they meant sing it with the Spirit with a little bit more energy, for a little bit more spizzerinctum or whatever, you know. But that's not what this is talking about at all. He just got through stating in the 14th verse that if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. My spirit prayeth. The Holy Spirit? No, my spirit. It's your spirit doing the praying. It's the Holy Ghost giving the utterance. The Amplified Translation said, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prayeth. It's the Holy Ghost helping me to pray. Praise God. And so, he said then, what is it then? I'll pray with the Spirit. So that means he'll pray with tongues. But I'll also pray with my understanding. And I'll sing with the Spirit. That means I'll sing with tongues. And then I'll also sing with my understanding. Now then, you see then that he's not only provided a supernatural, divine, supernatural means of spiritual edification, but according to 1 Corinthians 14:15, he has provided a way that our spirits, as distinct from our understanding, might pray. I can remember, and I was born again, thoroughly saved, healed by the power of God, raised up from a deathbed, pastor of a church, as a Baptist boy preacher. And I'd get alone with God. And sometimes, you know, because I had lived from the time I was 9 years of age with my grandparents on my mother's side of the family. And my grandfather always kept a cow. And I'd go down the barn, get up the hay and pray. Praise God. And you know, really, after I was filled with the Holy Ghost, I saw that I could have really done that before, because a lot of those times of spending an hour or so there, my tongue would get thick, and I couldn't talk plain. Well, I had been bedfast and paralyzed at one time, and my tongue was that way. And I thought, I'm about to have a stroke. And I get up, you know, and run from that place. But after I was filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke with other tongues, I saw this, that if I'd yielded to the Spirit, if there'd been somebody to teach me and somebody to tell me, I could have spoken with tongues long before I did. Because, you see, the Holy Ghost was in me all the time and trying to fill me and overflow. Glory to God. Amen? But I was praying with my understanding, you see. And I remember this, that I'd use every adjective at my command to try to tell the Lord how wonderful He is, how much I love Him. And just use every word, you know, with your understanding, but some way or another here on the inside of you, deep down on the inside of you, you felt cheated. I sort of describe it like this sometime. My wife and I, you know, after we left our last church in 1949, for many years until we, and even after we were here in Tulsa, and moved here, well, we traveled by automobile. We continued to travel by automobile, whole meetings all over the United States and in Canada. And until they got that 55-mile speed limit, you couldn't get anywhere very fast. We started flying then. But up to then, we traveled by automobile. And I know it sounds exaggerated, but actually, we traveled almost 2 million miles by automobile. That's a long way to go, isn't it? Because we'd travel, now you just figured it out, we'd travel, you know, thousands of miles a year. Well, in 10 years' time, you take 50, 60, 70, 80,000 miles a year. In 10 years' time, that's 800,000 miles. That's almost a million miles right there. But see, we were out there 49, 59, 69, 79. Amen. Almost up there, over into the 70s. And so a lot of time traveling, you know, you don't know exactly where to stop to eat, you know, because it's a strange place to you. We see some place that looks real good. And so my wife said, that looks good. Let's stop there and eat. We're looking for a place to eat. We've already run by the noon hour. And so we go in and eat, you know. And I don't mind paying for something if you get something. But I hate to march up there to the cash register and lay down real good money and sometimes excessive money and your stomach are hollering all the way there. You cheated me. You know what I'm talking about? Well, you see, you went to that place of prayer. You prayed with your understanding alone. But your heart, which is your spirit, didn't get to express itself. And somewhere or another, when you left that place of prayer, there was a dissatisfaction. There's something inside that's not satisfied. There's something inside that just hasn't been met. Because, you see, your spirit wasn't able to express itself. And it wanted to talk to God. And you didn't know, so you didn't let it. So you just talked with your understanding as best you could. But thank God, since being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues, I've never left that place of prayer without my spirit being satisfied. Because my spirit was able to say what it wanted to say under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Because if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. My spirit prayeth. Now notice that. My spirit prays. So, with the aid, of course, the Holy Ghost has given me the utterance. And you're speaking out of the inside of you, not out of your mind. Well, somebody said, what good would that do you? God tells you exactly what good it does you. He said it's a means of spiritual edification. He said it's a means of the Holy Ghost helping you to pray. You remember in the book of Romans, turn back there for just a moment, the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. You'll notice the 26th and 27th verses of the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that, notice that 27th verse now, that searcheth the hearts. Now our hearts here is our spirits. Knows what's the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, that's not something that the Holy Ghost does apart from you. One lady right here in Tulsa said to me a number of years ago at one of our seminars over on North Utica, said, you know, since I found out the Holy Ghost does my praying for me, I don't never pray much anymore. I said, what are you talking about? Well, he said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And since the Holy Ghost doesn't pray, no, the Holy Ghost doesn't do your praying. Because all through the Bible, but particularly we're concerned with the New Testament, we're encouraged to pray. You see, the Holy Ghost is your helper. Amen. In most modern translations, Jesus said, I'll pray the Father and he'll give you another comforter or helper, paraclete, helper. Well, a helper is not responsible to do the job. The helper's there to help you do the job. So you see, you have to interpret that in the light of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. And then P.C. Nelson, who was also a Greek scholar, in fact, one time one of the leading secular magazines here in America, the year that he went home to be with the Lord, said he's a leading authority in the United States on the Greek language. Well, he told us young preachers that this verse literally said in the Greek that the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered in articulate speech. Articulate speech, he went on to explain, is your regular kind of speaking. So this verse not only includes groaning, but includes speaking with other tongues, and that's the Spirit helping you to pray, for he helps our infirmities. Now, infirmities doesn't always, it can refer to weaknesses, sickness, something like that, but infirmities refers to our weaknesses, our shortcomings. You see, one of our weaknesses, one of our shortcomings is that we don't know for what to pray as we ought. Now, did you notice what he said? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know, see, he went on to explain what one of our infirmities is. For we know not for what to pray. No, that's not what he said. He didn't say we don't know for what to pray. He said, as we ought. As we ought. We know not for what to pray as we ought. In other words, as we ought to know. We do know for what to pray. But we don't know for what to pray as we ought. Amen? But thank God the Holy Ghost does. And he that searches the hearts are the spirits. In other words, now then, he said, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. He that searches the spirits, the hearts, knoweth the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So you see, here is one of the most important way to pray. And then somebody, bless their heart, you almost feel sorry for them. Wonder, where did they come from? What value, they said, is there to speaking with other tongues? Well, in the light of these scriptures, that's a foolish question, isn't it? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, notice also that the Word of God tells us, for if we pray, if I pray in an unknown tongue, and also we know not for what to pray as we ought. The Holy Spirit then, speaking with other tongues, helps me to pray for and about things that I don't know about, or which I don't think of, that needs prayer. I remember, I could tell you from way back under, I mean, just start in telling you experience after experience along this line, from back to the time when I was filled with the Holy Ghost in 1937, up till the present hour. But you see, those things that are more outstanding, usually come out in your mind more quickly. Amen. For instance, if you were praying for the sick, if you were holding a meeting or praying for the sick, if the minister there ministered to the sick tonight, and there were three people healed of headaches, and there's two people healed of a stomach disorder, but there was a cripple that was instantly healed and walked out of a wheelchair, well, when they wrote in and told us about it, they'd always tell us about the cripple, the wheelchair person. Might not even mention the headaches. And yet that's important too, but those things are more outstanding, and so they just stick in your mind more, don't they? Amen? Well, I'll tell you one that's a little more new. I have some newer than that, but this will help you. When we first started healing school here, we still have prayer school and healing school, but they're separate. But we had them together, and we'd pray and so on. And so one day, the old faith creation group was helping me. And then four of them stayed with us and four of them went their way, but they stayed with me for 2 or 3 months and helped us get started in prayer and healing school. And I don't know whether we was praying that day or not, whether it's healing school or not, but as Patsy was leading the last song, suddenly in my spirit I had that alert, that urge to pray. And so I said to the congregation, I've got to pray, and I've got to pray now. Somebody is near death. I just sensed that in my spirit. I know that. Somebody's close to death. And so we began to pray. We just fell on our knees, and I prayed as hard and fast in other tongues as you could pray, I suppose, for 45 minutes or more. And then I began to laugh. See, the burden lifted. Once you have that, stay with it until the burden lifts. until you have a spirit of lightness or laughter. I begin to laugh in the spirit and sing in tongues and whatever's answered. Now, while I'm there then, it gave the Holy Ghost an opportunity to pray about some other things that needed to be prayed about. And so we prayed about it. But then that night, I knew I had the answer. And so that night, all the faith creation group was over at our house, and we were going to pray together, and my wife and I and them, and make plans and so on and so forth. And a student called, young lady from ORU, and she said, Mama called and wanted her to call us and for us to pray because the student's daddy worked for the Texaco refinery in Port Arthur, Texas, and that afternoon there was an explosion in the refinery, and at 9 o'clock at night, 8:30 or so, it is still burning. They couldn't get in there. They don't know how many has been killed or injured. They know that because it's so massive, there has to be a number of injuries, and he's in there. They haven't heard from him. And so when my wife said that, I said, tell her we've already got the answer. That's what we was praying about this afternoon. When I said somebody's near death, I didn't mean they're sick and about to die. In other words, they're close to death. Danger, in other words. I said, tell her we've already got the answer. If her mother calls back, tell her we got the answer this afternoon. That's what that was. I found that has happened to me again and again through the years. I had the answer then when they call. And so then we went on with our discussion and prayer and faith creation. Left my wife and I got off to bed about 1:30 in the morning. Telephone rang. And this young lady from ORU called and said, well, Mama called and said they finally got in there. And they're absolutely surprised. They can't believe it. There's not one single injury. There's nobody hurt. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Well, praise God. In more recent time, the young lady graduated from ORU, came here, graduated from Rhema. And then not only that, but her mother and daddy came and went to Rhema and graduated. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. But, you know, so some of those more outstanding experiences, though we've had many since then, but those outstanding experiences through the year just sort of stick out in your mind, you know, because, thank God, it provides a way. I remember when I first received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues as a young Baptist boy pastor in 1937 and came over among the Pentecostals. I heard an Assemblies of God missionary speaking, and he and his wife went out to Africa. Now, you got to realize that I'm talking about in the late 30s now, and they went out, you see, to Africa as missionaries away on back yonder, years before then, I guess 20 years before then even. And so he said his dad-in-law, his wife's mother and daddy lived here in the United States. Actually, he was a farmer. And so one morning, he got up out there on the farm. He'd get up, you know, before daylight, go out and milk the cows in those years gone by, and put all the milk in the container, set it out beside the road, and the truck come along, pick it up. He had several cows he milked. And so he started out to the barn to milk the cows, and he set his milk buckets down right in the middle of the yard between the barn and the house, and came back in. Now, his wife, because you see, we're talking about there way back in the beginning of this century. His wife, they was out in the country, had an old wood stove, you know, to cook on. And so, you know, she had started breakfast. And when he came back in, she said, he is white as a sheet. He said, she thought he was sick. What's the matter? What's the matter? He said, I don't know. But his daughter's name was Blanche, said she's in trouble. It's physical. I don't know. I just got it in my spirit. She's near death. Her physical life's in danger. We must pray. He fell down in the middle of the kitchen floor, way up in the early in the morning, about 5:30 in the morning, started praying. 10:30 came, he's still praying in other tongues. And the cows are lowing, they have not been milked. And the hogs are squealing, they have not been fed. And the chickens are clucking, they have not been fed. And all the farm animals, you know. But it's 10:30 in the morning, he's still in the middle of the floor praying. His wife got down there beside him, began to help him. And 12 noon came. And he's still there on his knees, praying in other tongues. And 1:30 in the afternoon came. And he lifted his voice and began to sing in other tongues and laugh in tongues. And he got up and said, well, whatever it is, we got it. Whatever it is, I've got it. Praise God. I tell you, those old-time Pentecostals knew something about praying in the Spirit. And so, here's what happened. Here's what the son-in-law, the missionary, said. There in Africa, his wife took one of those deadly fevers. I mean, when you get it, you're dead. That's it. That's it. You're gone. There's no hope. There's nothing. You're dead. And so, he said she went right to the point of death. And when we, in the process of time, took time, because, you know, they went by ship, not by air in those days. But the difference of the time, at 1:30 in the afternoon, Eastern Standard Time here in the United States, when that daddy said, 82-year-old man, filled with the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues from 5:30 in the morning till 1:30 in the afternoon, said, I've got it. She's all right. At 1:30, you know, when you get the difference of the time, they'd already given her up. She's dead. She just suddenly rose up and walked off well. Glory to God. 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 I heard another Assembly of God missionary say, I heard him preach in Dallas, Texas. Way back there, you know, about 1939. I'd received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, like I said, 1937. And this Assembly of God missionary said he and his wife, well, you know, went to Africa as missionaries. And he said, we were inland there, you know, and one of the other tribes stole a little girl from this tribe. Well, we know their customs, unless we can get over there and trade for her and get her back before nightfall, she's gone forever. So I took an interpreter with me that could speak that dialect. We went there, and we dickered with the chief, gave him some beads and some different things, you know, for exchange, but night overtook us. Night overtook us. And you just didn't travel at night through the African jungle. So we stayed in the thatch, top of grass hut, you know. And in the nighttime, I heard these, about midnight, I heard these drums a-beating. And I said to this native, what does that mean? He said, well, that's a death sentence. It finally dawned on that chief. He's got all of those presents you gave him. He don't have to give them up or the girl either. And they're going to kill us. That's exactly what that means. That's a death sentence. I said, well, let's don't wait for them to come in and get us. Let's kneel down and pray. We knelt down, committed our lives unto God. And he said, well, I'll go first. We won't wait for them to come in. And so he said, I pushed the grass back, you know, the entrance way, and shut my eyes and stepped outside. I knew they had those bolo knives. I mean, one lick, they cut your head off. One lick. I stepped out there, and nothing happened. And I opened my eyes and looked, and all of these fellas with these bolo knives, these warriors, every one of them's on the ground. And I said, what are they doing? He said, the man stepped out that could speak the language, said, they're worshiping you. They're calling you God. He said, well no, tell them to get up. I'm not God. Yeah, they said, when you stepped out, though, two giant men, about 9 feet tall, in white apparel, with giant swords, stepped out right beside you. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, that Assembly of God missionary said, a few days later, that was on a Monday night, a few days later, I was visiting one of our other stations. There's a lady missionary up there. We were short on help. We had to leave her with the mission station. And so I was visiting that. And she asked me, said, were you in trouble last Monday night about midnight? He said, why? Well, she said, I'd worked hard all day. And I got off to sleep early. And at about 10 o'clock at night, I was awakened. And I had a burden to pray. And I tried to stay in bed and pray, but I'd fall off to sleep because I was so tired. So I got out of bed and got on my knees. And I prayed from 10 at night until 12, 2 hours in other tongues. And said about midnight, about 12 o'clock, I began to laugh in the spirit and sing in tongues. And I knew what it was. I've got it. But I've got the answer. But said while I was praying, your face flashed in front of me. And I thought maybe I might be praying for you. Do you have any unusual experience at midnight? He said, did I? Did I have? I thought, what if she hadn't prayed? I thought, what? What if she hadn't prayed? You say, well, why does it work that way? I don't know, but it does, bless God. Hallelujah. Because we know not for what to pray as we ought. But the Holy Ghost does. Now, you folks know, Brother and Sister Goodwin, I preach many meetings for them. Oh, I so many I can't count them all. I preached a meeting in this church where this happened. They were pastors back during World War II in East Texas of an Assembly of God church. And so they got off one Sunday night after service to sleep. And Sister Goodwin, she got a burden to pray. And she got to groaning. Now notice, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what to pray as we ought. Well, she got to groaning and praying in other tongues. She tried not to disturb Brother Goodman. She knew he's tired. He's preached twice on Sunday and ministered, you know. But she got so loud she awakened him. He thought maybe she is sick because she's a groan. What's the matter? Well, she said, I've got a burden to pray. Some of our folk. He said, what is it? She said, I don't know, but some of our folks, their life is in danger. Well, all they could think of that they had people on vacation. There's about four or five families that were driving all night long to get back home. So they claimed victory for all of them, you know, and no accident or anything, and got a little bit of ease. And so Brother Goodman said he fell off to sleep, and she tried to, and then got to praying again and awakened him. Didn't intend to, but did. And she said, no, that's not it. It's somebody else. Some of our congregation. Just a spiritual discernment, you see. A spiritual sense. Somebody's life's in danger. And so they prayed again. Got some relief. He went back to sleep. And she tried to, but got to praying again and groaning. And didn't mean to, but awakened him. And he said, well, I fall back to sleep. Let's just get up. Get out of bed. And so they got out of bed and prayed. And she couldn't get any relief from this burden. Finally, he said, well, let's just pray like this and agree like this. Whoever it is, let's ask the Lord and agree that he'll either give them a dream or give them a vision and show them the danger that's ahead of them. You see, their life's in danger. So they agreed on that, prayed in the Spirit, got back into bed, and it was 4 o'clock in the morning, Brother Goodman said. And so they got back into bed, went off to sleep. Naturally, being up so much, they slept later the next morning. While they're still asleep, I think it was their Sunday school superintendent. He's one of the men of their church. He went out in the oil field to work. He's worked what we call in a gang. That is, they're roughnecks. They pull the wells, you know. And so the man that worked the tower didn't show up that day. And so the gang pusher said to this man, you work the tower today. Men way up yonder, see, they pull those pipes out of the ground, you know, and so on. And he started to climb up that ladder and got up about 14 rungs and turned around, come back and said, I'm not going to do it. The man said, why? Well, he said, I'll tell you. He said, I had a dream this morning at 4 o'clock because I woke up when I had the dream, went to the kitchen, got me a drink of water. I had a dream. And Joe or Bill, whoever it was, didn't show up. And I went up there to work that tower, and that cable broke and cut my head off. I saw it fall down here. And I'm not going to do it. Another man present. I want to show you something. No insinuation, but here's the difference. Another man that was a member of a church right close to him. In fact, right across the road from this Assembly of God church. I know I saw the church there. This man's a member. He knows what the new birth is. They preach a new birth. He's been born of the Spirit and born again. And he laughed and said, well, I'm not superstitious. I'll do it. Gang pusher said, okay. He climbed the ladder. They started working, pulling the pipe out of the ground. He'd been up there about 10 minutes. The cable broke, cut his head off, came down and hit the Pentecostal man in the back. Well, you say, he is a Christian. Why didn't the Lord tell him? You see, dear friends, when you get over into this realm of the Spirit, of speaking with other tongues, you're in a different dimension, a deeper dimension. Are you listening to me? Where you can pray things, for we know not for what to pray as we ought. But the Holy Ghost help us. He doesn't do it, he helps us do it. Amen? Are you following me, you see? They believed in prayer in their church, but they just sort of prayed, Lord, you help those that need help and bless those that need blessing. Do what you can. Amen. But you see, those that know how to pray in the Spirit can speak supernaturally unto God and can pray those things out that need to be prayed for the Holy Ghost knows and prays according to the will of God, and His plan and purpose shall be forthcoming. Praise God forevermore. Well, thank God, you see, that God has provided a way whereby our spirits, as distinct from our understanding, may pray, and whereby we may pray concerning things that we know not about or which we do not think about. Amen. I remember we were way up in the state of Oregon a number of years ago. In the summertime, Ken was traveling with us because he was in Bible school at that time. And in the summertime, he'd go with us. Well, he was sleeping up in our little old trailer up, you know, the couch would make a bed, my wife and I. And so I'd gotten off to sleep. And I was awakened about 1:30 in the morning. Now, I never disturbed them. I'm lying right beside my wife, but I never disturbed her. I prayed about an hour and a half in other tongues. I realized that the Lord had awakened me. And I said to him, what is it, Lord? What is it? What is it? I call it putting up my spiritual antenna. I don't know whether that's a good term or not. What I mean is I reach out in my spirit to see, Lord, who is it? What is it? I realize this much, that somebody's life's in danger, and that it's some of my kinfolks. It's some of my relatives. And so I prayed on just real quietly, didn't disturb anybody, never got out of bed for about an hour and a half. And then I began to very quietly laugh, sing in tongues. And I said, well, whatever it is, I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it. Well, just a couple of days later, maybe 3 days later, but in other words, just a matter of a little time, in the afternoon, we were resting, and that lady came down from up at the... Because, see, we had this little travel trailer parked in a motor home, a trailer park, and then they had a part where travel trailers, they parked them. And she came down and said, you got a long-distance telephone call up at the office, emergency. And so I went up there, and my sister was on the phone, and she was going on, so I couldn't make heads nor tails. What is she talking about? Didn't even know who it was at first, just some woman going on. Finally, I got her quiet down. I said, and I recognized her voice, and I said, oh, Lita, quiet down. What is it? What is it? Well, she said, a lady called from over Kansas, called me, and said that Dub, my oldest brother that you know, said he had an accident, and he broke his back. And he's in this room in a cast, and her husband was there. And she was trying to see after him, but she was taking her husband home that day. And there's nobody to see after him. And the doctor, she said, I talked to the doctor, and the doctor said, we don't know whether he's going to make it or not. We don't know whether he's going to live or not. And she said, somebody needs to come see about him. And my sister said, I can't go. And just a crying, what in the world are we going to do? I started laughing. That's what I was praying about. I said, don't go. You don't have to go. We can't go. We're in a meeting. We don't have to go. I've already got the answer. I know so many times they'd call, and I'd have the answer. 9 times out of 10, I had the answer. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. I said, he's all right. He'll be all right. Don't bother about it. I've already got it. I've already prayed it through in the Spirit. Well, when we got back to Texas, he was there at our house. They said he couldn't make it, despaired of him almost. But he got up, walked out of the hospital with a cast on, came to our house, and he made it. But thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the help of the Spirit. Can you say amen? Thank God. I want to say with Paul, I thank my God I speak with tongues. Hallelujah. And I wish every believer had the same blessing, the same source of power in their life. Makes Jesus more real to you. Makes you love him more. Makes the things of God more real. Glory to God.